Chapter 66. Lyria. The Fall of Heraclion. Cassius takes control.
Sigurd, let's plough a path. Lyria, grab my belt and don't let go.
We rush toward the shuttle. Cassius and Sigurd batter their way through the crowd. More shadows flit through the courtyard. The lights above go out. A grey fires in the distance. Another Ascomani berserker appears ahead of us and kills three blues before she's gunned down. Another appears to the left. A gold knight descends to fight him. Then hundreds of throats roar, "Gunfag!" The Heraclians may have impressed me with the discipline of their evacuation, but the roar flips a switch. In an instant, they disintegrate into a mob of animals. Silent at first, they surge against us, against the battle line of greys holding the half-filled lift. Then, once the greys are swamped, do the berserkers attack everywhere at once. Only the animals begin to bay. Screams and bodies clamour all around, pressing in on me like a vice. I can see nothing but flashes of insanity. Panic-struck faces, clenched fists, falling bodies, barbarian butchers clad in darkness, children losing the hands of their mothers or fathers, boots on their backs. I clench Cassius's belt for all I'm worth. Terrified I'll fall and be trampled. He ploughs through the madness with Sigurd. I can see the transport through them. We're close, 20 paces off. Then something slithers overhead. The transport and the owls guarding us disappear in a flash of white light. Heat washes over me. I fly back like a rag doll. My head spins. My brain aches. I gasp. I'm on the ground. My ears wail. I retch as I try to stand. A knee knocks me flat. A boot steps on the back of my head. Another presses on my hand. I use a man's body to crawl to my knees. His elbow glances off my nose, but I gain my feet only to be trampled under a trio of black peddling silvers. Two of them spill down and we scramble at one another. Someone else falls on me. Fingernails rake my face. A knee falls on my stomach. A shoe steps on my right breast. I wheeze and punch the silver I'm tangled in his balls until he stops squirming and untangles from me. I scramble up. Cassius is nowhere to be found. I'm too short to see anything through the chaos. Disoriented, I take cover at the base of a monument to some famous god holding a pyramid over his head. My ears ring as I clutch the stone of the statue's base. I climb up to its waist to see over the havoc. The shuttle is a fiery wreck. Refugees swamp the sea lift. Its doors try to close, only to be jammed with bodies. Then a ragged cheer goes up. People turn and point. A flight of shining gulls descends from the Acropolis of Heraclion. The cheers die as glowing brands slither up from the sea. Missiles. White light flashes in the sky, and when the light dims, the gulls are twirling debris. The station is turning into a bloodbath. Horror greets me everywhere I look. I can't stay here. I don't know what to do. I search for Cassius and find him 20 paces off, fighting a tall berserker. Sparks shower as spear meets razor. Cassius turns the spear up and sticks his razor in the berserker's chest. Sigurd appears and slams his axe into the berserker's back. I climb higher up the statue and wave at Cassius. Cassius raises his razor when he sees me. He levitates over the ground with his grav boots to meet me at the base of the statue. Sigurd joins us, shouting into his comm.
"Sigurd!"
Cassius shouts when he sees the chaos at the lift.
"We can't stay here!"
Sigurd motions him to wait and ducks his head to listen to his calm. Cassius is not having it and grabs my hand and drags me after him away from the courtyard. Sigurd rushes after.
"My friends, they say they will come to us."
"Where?"
Cassius shouts. Sigurd points up to the Acropolis in the distance, the highest place in the tiered city. Cassius's expression falls.
"Anywhere but here," I shout.
"I'll fly you," he says.
"Did you not see the golds?" I ask.
His face hardens and his eyes settle on the pedestrian bridge that links the sea lift station to the city. He leans down to say over the noise,
"I am your shield. Stay in my shadow."
Sigurd fires at something behind us.
"Move!"
The two armoured men and I set off at a run. Soon the sounds of the station are lost in the tick, tick, tick of our loping gait and the panting of my breath in my ears. At first there are others on foot like us, but after we clear the bridge, the crowd thins, and we run alone into the low city, bound for the jump pads. Jupiter stains the glass and stone buildings in bronze light. The meandering stone ways are abandoned but for long-legged cats with bones as thin as birds that watch us from windowsills. One hunts a shadow on the ground.
I don't need to look up to know the shadow belongs to an Askamani ship.
It roars past overhead, firing at something before disappearing behind a great library complex. Two more ships follow it. Armored figures stream out their sides to fall onto the city. Fear fuels my legs.
We turn right onto a shopping agora and see its pedestrian jump pad is still active.
We take it at a run, and I feel myself go light and my stomach lurch a little as I sail up in a parabola maybe 80 metres before arcing back down toward another jump pad set in a public water garden. Its gravity field slows me just as I land. I stumble, Cassius steadies me, and we run on to the next, ascending each ring of the city a jump at a time. Wind whistles past. The sea roils in the distance and emits a deep groan.
Only it's not the sea. I look up. The great shield that protected Heraklion from the sky is gone. A moment later, four molten fists begin their descent from orbit.
Ships. Big ones. A smaller gunship flies past overhead. It catches us in its wake and hurls us off the aerial path.
All three of us crash down onto a rooftop garden. The plants below absorb most of my fall, but pain jolts through my left shoulder as I hit the turf.
Scrambling through flowers to the edge of the garden where Cassius stands, I see the gunship drawing up a half-click away. Its guns wink as it fires down at the city's defenders in the high-rise bunkers.
There's movement in a higher garden on the level above.
Cassius jerks his pulse fist upward. Three greys look down at us. They're young, maybe my age. They nod their heads. Two carry long metal rods. The third, some sort of launcher.
Cassius shouts at them to stop as they aim the launcher at the gunship.
I don't know why. The greys fire. The only evidence of the missile leaving their launcher is a faint thread of distortion in the air. They score a hit. The gunship belches fire.
Sigurd shouts he's found a way down. Cassius pulls me along, and we run before the greys start loading the second missile.
I hurl myself off the garden after Cassius and Sigurd, then look down to the next, and the next below that. We're halfway down the block when heat washes through my bones from behind. In the reflection of a carver's store window, I see a pillar of light tethering the building we just abandoned to a warship so high above it looks like a splinter. Then the light is gone, and the building crumbles. I'm choking and spitting dust out of my mouth by the time we land in the Acropolis of Heraklion. I wipe tears from my eyes and turn to see Sigurd looking down. The lower city has begun to rattle and groan with war machines beneath a shroud of dust and smoke. Anger wells in me, an anger I see on Cassius's dust-caked face too.
"Where are your friends?" I ask Sigurd.
He looks up at the sky.
"On their way, they said. They said to meet them in the relic garden."
Cassius is wary.
"Where's that?" I ask.
"I've been here before," Cassius says. "Follow me."
The Acropolis has been abandoned, mostly. Its high gardens lie untouched by the invasion below. Sigurd watches the sky as we pass through the gardens. Fountains as tall as 10 men babble water. Birds chirp on the shoulders of stone tyrants and in the boughs of fat olive trees. And there's music. Through a squall of dust, I see a violet woman in a grove of silver-leafed trees. Her eyes are closed as she plays a harp. She is pale, with long, elegant limbs. She wears a maroon silk tunic and headscarf. In her lap lies a long, dark knife.
We push on, accompanied for a little while by her song.
The stone grottos and parks of the Acropolis seem deposited from an older, grander age. Except for the music of birds and the shuffle of alien creatures in the trees, they are lifeless. The brown growers have fled. So too have the guards of the Acropolis, likely to help with the evacuation or the defence. We pass a black stone building with 10 sides. Its sides are open. Through the black columns I glimpse a dozen white-bearded gulls sitting on the stone benches in its centre. They are silent and still as statues. They watched the sky through the open roof, their razors in their laps, their dolphin rods leaning in the nooks between their shoulders and necks. Their white hair stirs in the breeze. Then we are past, and entering a grove of trees amidst which lie black stone shrines shaped like pyramids. Sigurd is still watching the sky. Cassius peers around. I pant for breath.
Where are they, Sigurd? Cassius says.
In his obsidian armor, Sigurd no longer feels like a friend, but when he turns, his eyes are hard and focused.
Cassius, they are close, but you must leave now.
Cassius pulls out his razor.
I think not.
Ascomani have landed on the Acropolis, Sigurd says, and taps his communication link. Your armor. They will want it. They will know you are gold. You will ruin the mission. They will not attack me. Go.
Your friends are close, I ask Sigurd.
Very.
Cassius, go, I say.
Go.
He strides to me, kisses the top of my head, and his armor turns dark as the night. Wind whips around us, and he's gone into the sky. Sigurd sees something back near the black buildings with 10 sides. I see it too, shadows descending through its open roof. He motions me back and searches the sky.
Brothers, hurry,
he whispers into his calm. Then to me,
go to your knees, say nothing. They come.
His helmet slithers up to hide his face. He's already cut off his helm's beautiful horns to hide his identity. He pulls the axe from the mag holster on his back. I go to my knees, trembling in fear. The leaves rustle. Thunder rumbles. Metal clinks toward us through the grove. I sense eyes on me. I twist my head. A small, almost childish figure watches me from the top of one of the black shrines. It wears light armor that drinks in the light and pulls something from its back to mark the pyramid with a symbol in white paint.
They're claiming loot, Sigurd murmurs. You are mine. Do not run. Do not speak. And whatever happens, do not look them in the eyes or they have to kill you.
Lean warriors stride through the trees. They are tall, lanky, with long spears. Their skin and armor are painted dark red. I dart my eyes to the ground.
A frigid voice calls in broken Nagal. You are lost, warm brave. Alone. Tribe? Name? That's for my brothers, my sisters, my Jarl, not for you. You, fifth ring. We, first ring. This city, claimed. Leave all treasure, slave too, or lose skin. You can go have sex with a goat. Skin it will be.
Feet crunch dried leaves. Metal rasps.
16 on 1. Fight me with honour, Sigurd growls.
I resist the urge to glance up. My eyes almost meet one as he sniffs the ground where Cassius took off.
Names fight names. You have none. But thief.
The sky whistles. I look up just as two mounds of metal land with a bang that almost knocks me over.
Oi, reptiles, you found our lost brother.
A big, happy voice bellows. He is a wide man and plants an axe on the stone.
Name's Gudmund the Jolly. We'll be taking our brother now, unless you want to make a thing of it. What do you think, Fenrir? Should we make a thing of it?
The Ascomani turned to peer at the thinner, shorter obsidian. Fenrir's face is covered, but he wears a black Pegasus Legion helmet. The horse head slithers into his collar to reveal a long face bearing the skull tattoo of a stained. The Ascomani tap their spears on the ground. Respect? Fenrir asks something softly in a strange language. No one replies. He says something again, and the Ascomani melt away to loot the shrines. The obsidians stare after them, their guards still up. What did you say? I whisper in Nagal. Fenrir looks down at me with little affection. One of his eyes is black, the other a green-hued tech job. His nose is flat, his lips scarred. He is terrifyingly calm.
I asked if there was a name here, or if anyone would like to make one.
He replies in common. He looks to his brothers.
They'll pass the word. We should flee before one shows up.
Gudmund bends to help me up with a jolly smile as a lean corvette approaches above.
Arms or back, lass,
he offers politely. I clamber onto his back and he takes off toward the corvette. I sit in the back of the corvette's garage with my legs out the open door. The sea rolls beneath. Heraklion is already lost in the distance. At times I see the light of a passing ship on the horizon, a flare of atmospheric descent, or a flash from a bomb. I wonder about my friends. I don't see how they can possibly stop this. Sigurd approaches and squats beside me.
I must leave now. I thought my absence would not be noticed, but there is a mark on my head. Fa knows I surrendered to Daru. Gudmund and Fenrir will take you straight to Volga's ship. She is not far.
He sees me looking back at them in worry.
You can trust them.
It's not them I'm worried about, I say. Thank you for helping. He cocks his head.
You help us, he says. It is our people who should thank you. Unnatural or not, Volga is the blood of Ragnar. The longer she is under Fa's sway, the deeper we fall away from Ragnar's dream. We must return to the sun and the smiles of our mothers. We must have a queen. I tire of kings.
For the Republic, I say, and stick out my hand. He takes it.
For the Volk, too. Good luck, Lyria of Lagolos.
He says farewell to his brothers and flies out the back. I don't know these men. They could deliver me wherever they want, or just dump me into the sea. Fenrir glares at me like I spat in his boots. Gudmund pops down beside me, eating a sausage. He hands one to me. I pass, nauseous with dread. How long till Volga? I ask.
40 minutes. She leads a hunting party.
I nod like I know what that means.
Cimmeria, huh?
He asks, with his mouth full of sausage. South Pole, huh? I reply. He thinks that's funny.
This place is terrible. I cannot wait to go home.
What do you miss most from Mars? I ask. He scratches his beard and his plump face lights up.
The parades. I look so glamorous with ribbons in my hair.
He pulls out a long wire and winces.
I'm sorry. But we must deliver you like loot.
Of course you bloody do.